Today's share of the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Tainis Daf Chav Hei. For those of you that noticed that I didn't dictate yesterday, I was somewhat preoccupied and I did learn the Daf Baruch Hashem, but I did not have a chance to dictate it in a quiet place. So I thank all of you that sent me kind words about the candle lighting ceremony. It was a big honor for me, and I hope it was a Kiddush Hashem for Klal Yisrael. And I thank you all for listening, and I thank especially those that noticed that I didn't send out a shir yesterday. But Baruch Hashem, we did build up a cushion exactly for situations like this. We are, Mitzvah Hashem, going to learn a fantastic daf today. Daf Chav Hei and Tainis is one of my favorites, daf in all of Shas. And it tells us, and here we start with the famous stories of Rechav Nina Mendoza. Rav Chanina Mendoza was a phenomenally great Tana. He was a Baal Mofes par excellence, and he was a person who is Lamala Min HaTeva. And we're going to learn a lot in great detail about his stories. I do recommend for those that really would like to look at them in a lot more detail to look at the Mefarshim. One that you might want to use as well is my Sefer Women in the Talmud, where I have 5-10 pages about this Gemara and some of the stories of Rav Chanina Mendoza, his wife and his daughter. So we begin 10 lines in the bottom, Chav Dalid Amud Beis. And we begin with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Habaka Ozil Beurta. One time, the great Tana, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, was walking on the road, and Osimitra, and it started to rain. Until now, we've been talking about when there was not enough rain. And here we see the greatness of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. He alone is troubled by this rain. The rest of the world is happy with this rain. So he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amal Lafan of Ribono Shalom. He says, God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Olam Kulu Benachas. Everybody else in the world is happy that this rain comes because they're an agronomical culture and society. They need the rain. But he says, I'm unhappy. B'chanina b'tzar. Your son Chanina is in pain and suffering. He was a very, very poor person. He had no fields. He had no benefit directly from the rain. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Pasak Mitra. He stops the rain for the entire world in the desire to benefit Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. He shouldn't be in distress. Pasak Mitra, the rains stop. Kibbutz Leis, as soon as Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa gets home, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amal Fadim Yonah Shalom, Kol Olam Kulu Betzar, V'Chanina ben Achas, now the whole world is suffering, they don't have rain, and I'm comfortable, Baruch Hashem, I'm in my house now, make it rain. And also Mitra, immediately the rains returned. Now this story is mind-boggling. We have the entire world in need of rain, and yet, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa trumps the whole world. And the Gemara continues to discuss this and says, Amar of Yosef, Maya Hanyalei Tzelusa de Kohen Gadol, what value is the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, which we'll see in a moment. We all know and familiar with this tefillah, and the Gemara discusses it, that the Kohen Gadol, when he was in the Holy of Holies, would daven this tefillah about Hashem not listening to the tefillah of people who are on the roads who don't want it to rain, because that helps those very few people, but it hurts the rest of the world. So of what value is that tefillah of the Kohen Gadol when you're dealing with a Rav Chanina ben Dosa? Ma hanyalei tzelusa de Kohen Gadol, the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol is worthless legabi Rav Chanina ben Dosa, against the tefillah of Rav Chanina ben Dosa. Tetnan, because we have a famous Mishnah, and we learned this not that long ago in Yuma, where it says, Hayim espalo tefillah katsara bebeis achitza, and the Kohen Gadol would daven a little tefillah on his way out of the Holy of Holies. Am I matzli? What would he say? Ravin bar Ada, Ravin bar Ada, these two children of Rav Ada, Ravin and Rava, said, Damar Tavai, they both said, in the name of their Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, Mishmed Rabbi Yehuda, this was the tefillah, Yiratzon Lefonech Hashem, Shetei Hashana Hazu, Geshuma Ushechuna. It be a will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this year should be a Geshuma, a Rainier, Ushchun, and a Hatye. Now, this was not the end of the tefillah, but the Gemara interrupts it because they don't understand this part of the tefillah. And it asks Shchuna to have a very, very hot year. Ma'ayasi, that's something that's positive. The Kohen Gadol is praying for something over here that sounds like it's a negative. Adraba, Giriyusahi, this is actually a detrimental thing to happen. If it's too hot, it's going to dry up all the ground and it's not going to be good for the crops. So we interrupt the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol to ask this question. So the Gemara says, you're right, Taka, that's not what it literally means. It means, Ella, im shechuna, if it's going to be a very, very hot year, so then, please, im shechuna, tehei geshuma utulula, let it also be a very rainy year and a very moist year, and in this way, it will counteract any of the heat drying up the earth. The excessive water will allow it to still be very fertile. No, the Kohen Gadol continues in his tefila. What did he say? Va'ayikones lefanecha tefilas ovrei drachim. Do not let the tefila of people traveling on the roads. When you're traveling on the road, you don't want it to go and be rainy. It's going to make it muddy. It's going to make it difficult to travel. It's going to mess things up for you. So the small percent of the population that's traveling on their own is davening that it should be a nice sunny day. And 98% of the rest of the world that isn't traveling on the road says we need the rain for our farms, for our fields. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol says, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, don't listen to those tefillos of that minority, listen to the tefillos of the majority. And this is exactly what it says, of what value is such a tefillah from the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, when you have a person like Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who counteracts or counterweighs anything that the Kohen Gadol can put together. And on this, Rav Acha Brei de Rav, Messiah Mishmei de Yehuda, the conclusion of this tefillah of the Kohen Gadol is concluded also in the name of Yehuda by Rav Acha Brei de Rav. And what did he say? The furthermore, the Kohen Gadol added to this tefillah, Lo Ya'adei Oved Shulton Midebeis Yehuda, that it always should be, the kingship should always be from Shevet Yehuda, from the dynasty, the legacy, the progeny of Malchus Beis David, and not from anyone else. So, for example, we're in Hanukkah right now, when I'm dictating, this is Hanukkah, and one of the reasons that it said that the Hashemanoim eventually were not successful after they defeated the Yevonim, of course, had the Mace of Hanukkah, so what happened to them? So their dynasty isn't permanent, it's eventually stopped, because the Hashemanoim were not from Shevet Yehuda, they were Kohanim, and therefore, they weren't destined to be the kings. So, lo ya'ade ovid shulton, there shouldn't be kings, mida Beis Yehuda, that aren't from Beis Yehuda. Okay. But finally, the last tefillah. And finally, Klai Yisrael should only rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we shouldn't have to rely for parnasa not only upon Goyim, but not even upon Jewish people. That we should be zocha to receive our parnasa directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not be dependent upon other human beings. So that was the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol, and it was essentially powerless when you're going up against a Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Where it continues and says, I'm Rav Yehuda Rav. Rav Yehuda Rav said, B'chol yom v'yom, bas kol yotzei svi omeres. Every single day of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's life, a voice rang out from Shemayim, a bas kol rang out and said, Kol la'olam kulon nizon b'shvil Chanina b'ni. The entire world receives all of its food, all of its parnasa, only in the schus of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Chanina b'ni, my child Chanina. And yet, v'chanina b'ni, for my own son, Chanina, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's son, Dayo, Bekav Charuvim, Me'erev Shabbos, Le'erev Shabbos. He is satisfied with just having a little boxer with a kav, a certain measure's worth of Charuvim. Charuvim is boxer. That's what he lives off from week to week. Every Shabbos, Le'erev Shabbos, he has a little bit of boxer. He supports the whole world. He should be having filet mignon every night. And yet, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is satisfied with just a little boxer, a little Charuv, when the rest of the world is supported on his merit. Mark continues now to tell us how great Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's wife was. Now, lest you think that she wasn't his equal from some of the stories that we're going to hear right now, she was his equal. And in fact, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Ayin Dalet Omid Beis, which says that Rabbi Yochanan once went out on a boat to the ocean, and they saw at the bottom of the ocean this beautiful jewel-studded chest which had fabulous treasures inside of it, and was protected by some fish. So they sent somebody down to go and get the diamonds. So Rabbi Yochanan said, no, leave it alone. What is that special chest? It belongs to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's wife, and that's reserved for the tzaddikim in the Olam HaEmes. So this just gives you an inkling as to how great his wife was as well. So, one time, have a regila devisu lemechama tanura komali shabbata. It was a regular custom. The Rechanina ben Dosa's wife would go and heat up the oven every Erev Shabbos, despite the fact that they had no food. She wanted to appear like she was baking for Shabbos, like everybody else, to give honor to Shabbos. So what did she do? She didn't have much food in there. They had a little bit of food, as we'll see. Vishadya akat rita. And she put in something that would make beautiful smoke, so anybody looking at their house would see smoke rising and say, oh, they're cooking up a storm, they're baking up a storm for Shabbos, the covered Shabbos. And we turn to Chof Hei Omer Aleph. And now, why did she do this? Because she was embarrassed. Mishum Kisufa, that everybody else is right. She says, Shayush, Kenosea, Ophos, Isol, Chavit Shabbos. Everybody else is baking for Shabbos. Vien Osaklum. And she doesn't have anything. So she had a very, very small amount that she would bake. It wouldn't make any smoke. So therefore, because she was embarrassed that everybody else is doing the mitzvah of Kibbutz Shabbos and she's not, so therefore, she put in something that would make it smoke. Now, Havalochach, Shivafta Bishta. She had a neighbor who's Bishta. She's bad. Why was she bad? So the Mefarshim explained she was bad because if you see how poor your neighbor is, that she has nothing to bake or eat, so all you're going to do is go into her house and try to embarrass her, what you should be doing is go bring your food and say, I know you may not have had a chance to go to the store yet. I was there, so I'm bringing you some food. I have an extra chicken. So here's an extra chicken. Do me a favor and take it off my hands. And do the mitzvah of stalker to an extremely poor person rather than being nosy and trying to find out what in the world she's cooking when you know she has nothing to cook. So that's why she's called Shivavta, a neighbor, Bishta, who's bad. So this bad, nosy neighbor says, Amra, Milti, let's check it out. Yodana, I know for a fact, the last Lahova Lobidi. They got nothing in their house. These people are broke. They're dead broke. Michael Yai, so what's all this smoke doing over here? So what'd she do? She goes, Ozla, the Tarfa Abava. That's the expression we use for knocking on the door. So she goes and knocks at the door. Now, Ichsefa, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza's wife, is very, very embarrassed because she knows she has nothing in the oven and the lady's going to come in and say, ooh, what are you cooking? Let me go and see. And she'll open the oven and she'll see there's nothing inside. So what does she do? She hides. Ba'ayla l'indrona. And she goes inside to a inner room in the house. The nosy neighbor comes in, Isavad le'nisa, and she sees a miracle has occurred. She goes into the house, uninvited. The chazil tanura moli lachma. She sees that the oven is miraculously filled with bread. The agana mole lisha. And the trough that she would need the dough in is filled with dough. Next shift, ready to put into the oven when the first challahs are baked. Amar Allah. So the nosy neighbor says, hey, lady of the house. She says, plinasa, plinasa. You know, that's like so-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, Mrs. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. I say, come quickly. Bring your masa, the kacharich lachme. Go bring your special shovel or trowel that you go and take the bread off the oven wall because your bread's going to burn and you got much more to bake. So Amr Allah, so Bichini Mendoza's wife says, no, that's why I went inside. You think I'm hiding from you? No, I went inside to go and get my special trowel, to get my special shovel over here to go and scrape off the dough. They used to slap the dough onto the walls of the oven and they would be called roda hapas. They would go take the pots off. So that's why I went. I get to get special shovel to go and take the bread off the wall. Tana, the Gemara tells us, Af hi lahavi marda nichlasa. She actually went inside to get this marda, to get the special shovel. Why? Bibnei shemilumedes ben nisim. Because this happened to her on a regular basis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give them food. They had nothing. And yet, they would go put a little bit in the oven and there'd be plenty left to take out. They were melumed. They were used to. They were very accustomed to nisim occurring on their behalf. The Magen Avraham Shulchan Aruch brings down from this story that since everybody was baking in the story, Lekovit Shabbos, this is one of the sources for the beautiful custom for Jewish women to go and bake bread on Erev Shabbos, to bake the challah on Erev Shabbos for Kovet Shabbos. The Ivitz asked the obvious question, how are you allowed to go get benefit from Ma'aseh Nisim? We just learned the other day that you're not allowed to get benefit from Ma'aseh Nisim. So what is the answer? So he brings down, if it is like the Eishes Ovadia, where the famous story in the Navi, in Melachim Beis, where she had a little bit of oil, and the Navi told her, so go bring many, many, many additional jugs and barrels of oil, and from that little bit of oil, Hashem will make a miracle. As long as it was chal on something, that's not called Ma'aseh Nisim. It's only Ma'aseh Nisim if it's Yesh Me'ayin, if it's made out of nowhere. Like we had the other day when the angels came, and they took the sand, and they turned it into wheat, so that was Yesh Me'ayin. Here, you're not allowed to be Nana for Ma'aseh Nisim, but if there already was something there, and then additional came from it, that's not called being Nana for Ma'aseh Nisim. Mark continues and tells us more about Rabbi Chanina and his great tzaddikus wife, Amar Leih Divisu, one time. Now, the girsa that we have over here, we're going to follow. There are slightly different girsas. They just change around some of the conversation between Rabbi Chanina and his wife as to who said what. We'll just read it straight with the girsa that we have. So, Amar Leih Divisu, one time, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza's wife said to her husband, Rabbi Chanina, Ad Emas Nezil V'Nitztar Kulei Hai. How much longer are we going to go and continue to suffer? We are dead broke. We have nothing in the house. So Rabbi Chanina Mendoza says to his wife, Amar Leih, nu, my navid, what would you like me to do? So she tells him. That's the girsa that we have. Boy Rachmi, go and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nesu Lon Loch Midi, to give us something. We have nothing, so give us something. So Boy Rachmi. So Rabbi Chanina Mendoza David, and Yotzeso Kimin Pisas Yad, V'yovule Chad Karab Dibsore Dedava. Amazingly, a miracle occurs. What looks like a hand comes out of Shemayim, Kemin Pisas Yad, like the palm of a hand, stretches out from Shemayim, and in this hand, there is the leg of a golden table, Kara de Psora de Dava. and this hand comes out miraculously from Shemayim, and he hands a golden leg of a table to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. No, they now have food. They'll have plenty of food. However, Chazoi b'Chalmo, Rashi says that this is the visu of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's wife sees in a dream. Others say that no, it's Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. In any event, they see in a dream, Aside tzadike the ochle apsora de dava the isle tlaskare. They see in the Olam Emes that the tzadikim are eating there on a three-legged table, and they their table the at ocheles apsora de trei kare. According to the Gisa we have, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is telling his wife, but we only have a table that has two legs. How it's standing up, I don't know, but the table has two legs and that's what we're eating on because we took one leg in this world, and therefore there's one less leg on this table in the Olam Emes. So, Amrulay, she says to her husband, Nichola de Mechal Ochle Kule Alma Apsora de Mishlam, Vanan Apsora de Mechsar. So she says to him, or some say he says to her, are you happy that everybody else is eating on a three-legged table and we're eating on a two-legged table? So Amrulay, she says to him, well, my nevet. So what can we do about it? No, I'm not happy about that. What should we do? So either he says to her or she says to him, Boy Rachmi, the Nishlikinu Minoch. So go and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take it back. We don't want it anymore. We changed our mind. So Boy Rachmi, so they dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ushkalu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes back the golden leg of the table from them. And the word says, Tana, we're learning the Braisa, Godol Haya Nesa Achron, this miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the leg of the table back is Yosef and Rishon, is even greater than the first miracle of the leg coming down to them with this hand from Shemayim giving them the leg. Because the Gemirit, we have a Masorah, we have a tradition, the Mehav Yoavei, but Mishkal Lo Shokle, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, but he doesn't take back. And here he took back. So that was even a greater miracle than beforehand. And again, this leaves us with many, many questions. First and foremost, they were dead poor for all these years. Why suddenly is she speaking up and saying, you know, I'm not happy about this? Seems very, very strange. So both the Menachem Nation Nefesh and the Anaf Yosef, they bring down from the Yaros Devashu, Yonas and Eibeshitz, a very tremendous insight. Chas v'sholem, don't think for a second that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's wife cared at all about these worldly matters. That wasn't what bothered her. You know what bothered her? We're so poor, we can't give any tzedakah. And therefore, she felt terrible. If only we had a little bit of money, we could also do the mitzvah tzedakah. And that's what bothered her. And the answer is to that, however, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ask us to be rich. There's no mitzvah to be rich. There's no mitzvah to give tzedakah if you don't have money. And in fact, the Mefarshim bring down that if you want to give tzedakah, just your desire to give tzedakah, and you don't have the money to, but you say, if I had the money, I would give the tzedakah, it's as if you gave the tzedakah. So therefore, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and his wife realized that now that they had the ability to do the mitzvah, but they were going to lose out in their share in the world to come, so then that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. So therefore, they gave it back. The Sefer Beis Elokim asks, didn't Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's wife know this beforehand, that they would be using up their zchusim, they would lose their leg on the table in the world to come? What in the world was going on? So he writes, no. There's in fact the gears over here, which is brought down in the Yaakov and also in other places, that says that they're missing over here, where the words over here, mitivusa the gimize letzadikaya, that the wife of Rabbi Chanina Mendoza asked from Shemayim that they give them from the goodness that is hidden away for the tzadikim. And by that it means that it's a goodness that's a perfect goodness, that it's not being deducting from the eschusim, but great tzadikim azocha to be eating the peros in Olam Hazeh, and the Keren Kayem is the Olam Haba. So therefore she was asking, give us some of those peros that are for Olam Hazeh in this world. But Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa told her, no. Lo ratzalenos afilu min haperos that are destined for this world. He wanted zero benefit from any zechusim that they did. And he said, only when his wife pushed him, and he said, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us in the Perosh, Shenecholim B'Olam Hazeh. However, when they saw that their regal was missing on their table, so then they changed their mind, because they saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving them from what had been stored for the Olam Haba. Now, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Kivin Shloi Roi B'Einei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Masha Bikish, the Kabbalist Peros Mitzvah Sof. Because in some way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, for people like Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and his wife, to even get those things that you're entitled to in this world, wasn't right. Lefi Goldel, Madregoso, V'chasiduso, because of the great level that they were on, even that was inappropriate for them. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show them that, And that's why he took away, quote, from their table in the world to come, from the leg of the table. And that's why they immediately said, no, that we don't want. And Hashem took it back. The Maharsha suggests that this idea of the three-legged table is for our Shlosh Dvarim HaOlam HaMeid, our Torah, Galavod, Gemilus Chasadim, and that because of those three attributes, the Tzaddikim were going to be Zonu Mefanes for Olam HaBa. However, in this situation, this rego was the regal of Tefillah, so they lost it a little bit because they were asking Hashem to give them something in this world. The Ruach Chaim says a little bit differently. He says that this wasn't Tefillah, but this was Gemilus Chasadim, because all of the Rishayim in this world are Zon because of the Tzaddikim. And in this situation, sometimes the Tzaddikim, they're so magnanimous, so to say, there's a chus that they're meriting, that all the wicked people are sustained, so sometimes nothing left for them. So in this situation, by giving to Ruchini Mendoza and his wife, so then it was meaning there was less in this world for the Rishayim, and they would have to get some of their reward in the world to come. And that's what was bad. And therefore, this lack of Gemilus Chasadim, so to say, because now the Rishayim wouldn't have some of this bounty in this world, and they would have it in the world to come. There's much more to be said, but we got to go weiter. Gemara says, Chag Beis Shimshei, one Erev Shabbos. Why was it called Erev Shabbos, Chag Beis Shimshei? So Rashi, if you see the Masoros HaShas in two other places, says the Ben HaShmashos was a term that was shogub if he called. Everybody used this. V'akol charedim olav ligmor melachtam ad shelo techshach. Because, oh, Ben HaShmashos, it's getting close to Shabbos. So people would refer to this as the Ben HaShmashos, the Ben HaShmashos. And that's what Rashi says in a couple of other places. I saw a very interesting pshat in the Maharsha, who says in the Gemara in Ksubos, Minhago Shir Yehuda Bereid Rabbi Chia Sheichos LeBeisel Kol Beis Shimshei. He would go to his house every Beis Shimshei, which means once a week they would go home for Shabbos, and it was called Beis Shimshei Sharitzorach LeOsef Michol Al Kodesh. They had to add on from the weekday towards Shabbos Mosif Minachol Al Kodesh, and therefore Velkach Nikra Zman Zeh Beis Shimshei, to add on from the sun to the Shabbos. In other words, they would go home erev Shabbos early to add on Mosif Minachol Al Kodesh. In any event, one Friday afternoon, Chazil Ebrate, Rabbi Chinim Ben Dosa saw that his daughter was very upset. Tahavis Atzima, she was very, very sad. So he said to his daughter, Nu, my daughter, Amal Abite, Lamay Atzimas, why are you so sad? So the Gemara says, Amalei, she said to him, Kli Shel Chometz Nischalifli B'Kli Shel Shemen. You know, the oil that we fill up our Shabbos licht with? So I mistakenly took a vinegar jug and poured it into the candles and I lit them. Vidlakti mimenu or l'Shabbos, and now I make Shabbos. Women, when they light the Shabbos candles, accept upon themselves Shabbos. And now we're going to have no light because vinegar doesn't burn. So therefore, we're going to be in a lot of trouble with Shabbos. And that's why I'm so sad. Amla, so Rabbi Chanina Mendoza tells his daughter, you think it makes a difference what you light? Viti, mayich patloch, why are you upset? What does it bother you? Misha amra l'shemen v'yidlok. Hu yomar l'chometz v'yidlok. The one who says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that oil should light, he can also say vinegar should light. There's no difference. It's not difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara says, Tana, that's exactly what happened. Hayadolek b'holech kol hayom kulo. The vinegar that his daughter lit, it stayed lit all Shabbos long. Hayadolek b'holech kol hayom kulo. And more so, ad sheviyu b'menu oil havdolah. And they went and lit another flame for it as their havdolah candle from that very oil. Now again, this is a tremendously strange story. What in the world is going on? And the Ben Yoda has four kashas over here. Number one, he says, she's upset and sad that it's not going to last all Shabbos. How did it even light in the first place? Vinegar doesn't burn. Ein yachol lidlok afil rega echad. So what's going on? So why is she sad? It's lit. Number two, this household was used to miracles. Why would she be upset? Ooh, gee, this thing that never should light is lit, and now we're going to be in the dark? No, she's used to miracles. They happen to get miracles in the house all the time. So why is she so sad? Number three, Madu Hutzrach Lomala Haloshim, why did he respond to it? He says, Mishom Elashem and Viedlok, Yom Elachomus Viedlok. The one who says that the oil should light will say the vinegar should light. Just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make the vinegar light. Well, what's this whole story? And finally, the fourth question, Madua Hutzra Chanes Lahamshech Kol Kach She Yishara Dolek Lemotzi Shabbos. Why should it still be lit till after Shabbos? No, let it right for 3 hours. And wow, what a miracle. Why did it have to go for 24 hours? So the Ben Yehuda explains as follows. Chazal tell us, Shim Osin Nes Liyodom Minachilom Zichuyosov, as we've already learned, that if Hashem makes an ace for you, you're going to have to pay for it in some way, shape, or form. And therefore, she was very, very sad about that, because she saw that it lit. And says, oi, we're using up our zechuyos. So therefore, it tells us that, no, in a house like Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa, there is no difference between teva and super teva, and that's which is supernatural above teva. It's all one and the same. And therefore, Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa was telling his daughter, you're worried about using up azichuyos? You should be just as worried about if it lights oil that we're using up azichuyos, because that's a miracle too. There is no difference in Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa's house between a miracle and normal nature, because normal nature is a miracle too. So therefore, he said the one that made oil light is the one that makes vinegar light. There's no difference between them. And therefore, Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa told his daughter, don't be sad about this. We're not using up any of our zechuyos, just like we wouldn't be using up any of our zechuyos if the oil lit. Because by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no difference between nature and supernature. It's only by people that he wants the world to go in the manner of teva. But by us, we're lamalim in our teva, and therefore it doesn't make any difference, because we truly believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the whole world. And therefore, he says, my ichpat loch, what difference does it make to you? We're not using up any of our zechuyos. And the proof to this is, because if they were using up these zechuyos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have made it that the vinegar went out after 2-3 hours when they didn't need the light anymore. But no, it stayed lit all weekend, because it didn't make any difference to them whether it was lit or not lit as a miracle. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes things light, that's why it was lit. Nothing to do with Teva, that's just the way the world runs in the house of Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa. Finally, how are they able to benefit from this? It's Ma'aseh Nisim. So Ben Yehuda says that's why on Motzei Shabbos they specifically lit another candle, because now for the first time they're getting Hana. Because he brings down that obviously it wasn't only the daughter of Chinin ben Dosa that lit, the wife of Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa lit. So they're able to get Hana from the light of Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa's candle, his wife's candle, all Shabbos. They didn't need the daughter's candle, so they didn't benefit from the Ma'aseh Nisim during Shabbos. And after Shabbos, since they lit it to another candle, there was already something there, and they're not benefiting from the Ma'aseh Nisim. They're just taking it from there, so that's not called benefiting from the Ma'aseh Nisim. Others suggest that you're only called getting benefit from Ma'aseh Nisim if it's something that goes inside of you. But if it's an external thing like the light, that's not called benefiting from Ma'aseh Nisim. Another story about Chinin ben Dosa. Chinin ben Dosa, Havalei Hanach Izei. Chinin ben Dosa had goats. Now, what was he doing with goats? He's very, very poor. Furthermore, it's also to raise goats in Eretz Yisrael because they're going to destroy other people's crops. So therefore, the Gemara is going to have to explain to us that they weren't Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa's Izim, and how could he do this story according to the Girsa that we have it? So it was, again, Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa was such on a high madrega that he was a blamalim in the Gezeira that you're not allowed to go and raise goats in Eretz Yisrael because they're going to destroy other people's crops. So he knew for a fact that his goats would not destroy anybody else's crops, or the Mefarshim explained that he would be megadol them the midbar or biyar in places away from the crops of other people, and it's actually muta. The Gemara in Bava Kama tells us megadol them bemidbaros shel Eretz Yisrael, so you can grow them outside the civilized area. That's not a problem. So he raised his goats over there, but these goats weren't his, so he's not getting direct benefit from them. He's doing a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, as we will now see from the story. So the Gemara tells us he had these goats. Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa, Habulei Hanach Izei. So the people said to him, Amrulei, Kol Ma'afsedon, your goats are destroying our fields. So Amr, he said, absolutely not. And there's no way my goats could be doing this. And I'll prove it to you. E, Kol Ma'afsedon, if my goats are destroying your fields, you know what's going to, I'm going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nechlinu Dube, let the bears go and eat them. Rashi has the gears over here, Dubim Uze'evim, Basados. And some suggest that the word Dubim is actually a foreign language word that means wolves. In any event, the Dubim and Zebos, whatever it was, these wild animals, the bears and the wolves, should eat my goats up if, in fact, they're destroying your fields. But if not, Vilo, Kochoda Vachoda, Teise Leurta, let each of them come home after the day and pasturing out in the field with Duba Bikarnaya, with a bear or a wolf in their horns. In other words, this unbelievable, miraculous thing that a goat would go kill a bear and carry it in its horns should occur, this miracle should occur, if I'm telling you the truth, and if not, let all my goats get eaten. What happened that night? Lohurta, of course, that night when they came from the field and pasturing, Isaac, Kolchada, Vichada, Duba, Bikarnayu. Every one of his goats had a bear or a wolf attached to the horns of the goats. So again, Ma'aseh Nisim par excellence. Another story. There was a neighbor of Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa, the Kobanya Besa, who was building a house. However, she wasn't a very good builder. Architects weren't good. Below Matu Kishure, and when they designed the house, they put in the wood, the 2x4s, and they didn't fit. They didn't make them long enough. So she didn't know what to do. Asa Lekami, she went to Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa. He would solve the problem for her somehow. And Amalei, she said to him, Banisi Besi, I built my house. However, below Kamatu Kishurai, the beams don't reach from one side to the other. You know, the dimensions of the house are 20 feet by 20 feet, and the beams are 18 feet. So I don't have beams to go across. So Amalei, Amalei Mashmech. So he asked this lady, what's your name? And before she explained, he didn't know this lady at all. And he didn't look at women. And he had no idea who she was. So he asked her, what's your name? Now, he needed to know her name, because he wanted to check the Mefarshim, say if from her name he could tell if she was deserving of a nes occurring, if some miracle should occur to her, and he would be able to tell this from her name. And anyway, she tells him, Amalei, Aiku, my name is Aiku. So he says, Omar, he said, Aiku nimtu kishurayach, let your beams be elongated and let them stretch out and let them fit the place. Some of the Mefarshim say that they made a nes, that they added on pieces to it and they didn't fall off. Others said the beams just elongated on their own. He made a nes for her. Tana, the Brisa tells us, Higiu, they stretched out not just to the length of the wall, but they extended beyond the walls. Achiyotsu amalekan v'amalekan. They extended out a whole extra amal on each side. And the purpose of this was Pursume Nisa, right? When in the middle of Chanukah right now, the whole idea of Pursume Nisa. So this nes is also supposed to be Pursume Nisa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the whole world. They shomim, others say Snivim Asum, they were made of extra pieces, and these pieces elongated the beams. And that's how the beams stretch out beyond the walls. Furthermore, we learn in the Braisa, Tanya, Plimo Omer. Now, Plimo was a Tana who lived a whole century later on than before she was played. So this is this miracle of this house, of this lady, Iku, was still present 100 years later. And Plimo said, Ra'isi oso abayis v'yukaros v'yotzos amalekan v'amalekan. I myself saw this house 100 years later, and the beams were stretching out an ama beyond the house. V'yamuli, and people said to me, oh, abayis there, this house, shekeira Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa b'tulah. So this is the miracle house of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, the davin, that the beams should be extended. So here, because it was Maisa of Pesume Nisa, so therefore he was allowed to go, and the woman was allowed to go benefit from this house, because the whole purpose was Pesume Nisa. Now the Gemara asked the question, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa meichan habalayizim, where did Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa get goats? He was deathly poor. For ani haba, he was very, very poor. He was an impoverished person. He was an ani. Furthermore, the question I said before, you're not allowed to grow such animals in Eretz Yisrael, the Gorm Bava comment that I quoted before, because they're going to go damage the surrounding area. So the Gemara gives a technical answer that they weren't really his. As the Maisa tells us, there was a person that came, and he left some chickens over there. Now, the guy left, and she finds the chickens behind. So Amalos, her husband tells her, you're not allowed to get any hanor from the eggs, they belong to somebody else, they belong to this guy. And as chickens are wont to do, they laid more eggs, and the eggs hatched, and they laid more eggs, and the eggs hatched. So now you got this whole tribe of chickens over here. They had to take care of them. So it was bothering them. So what did they do? They sold them for animals that are easier to take care of. So they sold the chickens, and they bought goats with them. The goats could take care of themselves. You don't have to do a lot with them. You send them out to the field to pasture. And we answered before, he sent them out to the midbar, he sent them out to the forest, so they didn't destroy any crops, or he was certain that his animals wouldn't destroy any crops. No. Finally, years later, long time later on, this guy who lost the chickens in the first place comes by to the area and he asks anybody, he said to a friend, I once left some chickens over here. Would you happen to know what happened to them? So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa hears this. Shom Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, he says, Omalo. He says, Yesh l'chol b'em simen. Do you have a simen that those are your chickens? The guy says, yes. Omalo, hey. So he says, no, give me the simen. Nosilo simen. He gives him the simen and Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa says, Taka, those are your chickens, right? Told them black chickens, white chickens, whatever. So he gave him a simen. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa returned him the entire flock of goats that he now had. And that's these goats. That's this whole Maisa with these goats. This concludes our series over here of phenomenal stories of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. It's already very late in the shiur, so I'll have to go weiter, but Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was a Tana Bal Mosef par excellence, as was his great wife, the Tzedekes, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's wife. Now, that was already late, so I'll keep on moving forward. There's so much more to say, but we'll keep on going weiter. But another story about Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, also a great tzaddik. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, Dechika le Milsa Tuva. He was also very, very poor. Avad Milsa, That's the terminology the Gemara used for having a phlebotomy, of having their blood drawn. Again, in those days, used to think that it was very, very important for a person to have Hakiz Dam, as Rashi says, to have his blood drawn. That was a prophylactic way of keeping good health. And just like today, if you draw blood, they always give you water to drink afterwards and something to eat. So they felt it was very important to eat and drink after having your blood drawn as well. However, he was so poor, Nebuchadnezzar Pedas, the law of Limidi Limitam, he had absolutely nothing to eat. So what did he do? Shokal Bira de Tuma. He took a piece of garlic. Tuma is Shuma, the tough and the shin are interchangeable. So he took a clove of garlic and the Shadja Bapuma and he put it in his mouth. And that made him, unfortunately, get even sicker. Cholash Libe. Rashi says that means this alpha, he fainted, the nim, and he went to sleep, he fainted. So also the rabbanon l'shayulibe, the rabbis went to see, hey, what's going on over here? They called Tatzala. Chazua dekobachi v'chayich. In his fainted state over here, he was both crying and laughing at the same time while he was sleeping here. Unefak tzutziso denura me'apuse. And suddenly a light appeared from his forehead. Me'apuse means from his forehead. So Kiyasar, when he wakes up from this fainting, from this sleeping, Amalei said to him, "My time of kabach is uchayis." They were asking what was going on while you were dreaming, while you were sleeping, that you were crying and laughing at the same time. So he told the people that came to help him, "The Hava Yosef imi Hakadosh Baruch Hu." I was sitting with Hakadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochu during this dream. Now, we know that you can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so someone in Farshim suggests that this isn't of itself just a dream. Or others say, in a dream you could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not in real life. In any event, he was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his dream, but Amri Lei, and Rebbe Elazar ben Dos asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Admosai etztair b'hai alma, I'm so poor, how much longer, Hashem, are you going to make me starving and poor in this world? So Amri Lei, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to Rebbe Elazar ben Dos, Elazar b'ni, Elazar my son, Nichalach, the Apcheli Omo Mereisha, Efshar de Misanatus, Bishaito de Mizone. Would you like me to go and start the world all over again? In other words, turn everything back to Tov of Ohu, and then we start forward, and maybe this time you'll be born under a mazel that would allow you to be born in a time when there would be lots of food, Bishaito de Mizone. As opposed to now, when you were born under the mazel that you wouldn't have food. So, amazingly, Rabbi Elazar ben Dos says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amin Lekamei, cool, I hide the Efshar. You're telling me over here that if you go redo the whole world and recreate me from scratch, maybe Efshar de Misal de Beshaita de Mizoni. Even then, it would only be a maybe. So Amri Lei. So he said further to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dechayetvei o Dechayena. So let me think about this for a second. How many more years do I have left to live? In other words, if it's Kedai, it'll be enough of a life, then maybe it'd be worthwhile to do that. But if it's only going to be a little bit, in other words, is the time that I've lived greater than the time that I still have left to live, or is the time that I still have left to live greater than the amount of time that I've lived? So let's say he was 70, and he's going to live to be 120. He was asking, do I have more time that I've lived already, 70 years, or 50 years till 120? That's what he was asking. Which way is it? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, Amalei. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said back to Rabbi Elazar ben Dos, Dechayis, no, you've already lived more than you're destined to live altogether. So if you're going to destined to live 120, you've already lived 80 years. So you already lived most of your life. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Dos says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amri Lekamei, if that's the case, Imkein, lo ba'ina, then don't go and trouble yourself to go start the whole world all over again. I've already lived most of my life. I'm close to my Olam HaEmes, so I'd rather be that than have to go through life again. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to Rabbi Elazar ben Dos, Amri, in his dream, this is what Rabbi Elazar ben Dos is seeing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to him, the high agra with the reward that the Amris lo ba'ina, that you didn't trouble me to go and redo the whole world all over again, you have earned your full share of the world to come. And how much is that? I will give you 13 rivers, Tlesar Naharva, that's 13 rivers, of Demishcha Farsimon, of balsam oil, Dachyon, that's very, very clear and pure, as much as the Pras and the Diglas, the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers. Now, the number 13, some suggest is Kenega, the Yud Gimel Midos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, the Yud Gimel Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and others say no, that it's just a number, Stama number, Lav Dafka, that's 13, some say it's a Guzma, when you use the number 13, it means a lot. In any event, this is what he gave it to, and the Ma'angis Bo, and you will enjoy this very, very much. So, Rabbi Elazar ben Dos says back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amalek Hamei, that's it? Hi, Vesula, only these 13 rivers of the balls of oil? Not more? So Amalei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to Rabbi Elazar ben Dos, very, very unusual and deep and strange story. And if I give you more, then who is going to be losing out? What will I give to your friends? So I'm relate. So Rabbi says back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not asking you to take away something from somebody who's getting it. But no, what I was asking is Migabra the Lesle Be'ina, somebody that has lost their share in the world to come, so give that share to me. I'm not asking you to take away from somebody who deserves it, but give me the share of one of the Rishayim that lost their share in the world to come, and I'll take that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very pleased with this response, and Mochyon V'yaskutla Apusai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, he flicked them. He tapped them with his fingers. You snap your fingers with your forefinger and your thumb, or your middle finger and your thumb, and you make a snapping sound. So that's what he did. Mochyon biaskutla apusai, and he did that to the forehead of Rabbi Elazar ben Dos, and that's what gave him the shine coming out of his forehead that they all saw. Furthermore, Hashem said to Rabbi Elazar ben Dos, V'amali, Elazar Bari, Elazar my son, sometimes he's called Bini, Bari, same thing. Girai boch girai, I have put my arrows in you, and that's the shine that's coming out from your forehead. The Mepharshim explained that what was an answer? He didn't get an answer to his question. Can't you give me something that somebody didn't deserve? So some of the Mepharshim bring down that HaKadosh Baruch Hu flicked him on the forehead over here to teach him the idea. The Emes HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo heshiv lo tshuva. Hashem didn't answer him. Elohi called him, and so he flicked him on his forehead. Miniskavim is there to teach him the idea. Lomalo, shlo dikdik besichlo. It would be impossible for a human being to understand. Lohavin dvarav, v'lo l'kach ha'yisra kavanoso. And therefore, Hashem wasn't going to go and try to explain it to him. Again, a fascinating story. We don't have time to go to it in any more depth. And we'll go weiter to another fascinating story. Rav Chama bar Chanina goza tenisa. Once Rav Chama bar Nisa, there was no water, no rain, and he declared a fast day. Below us a mitzvah, and the rains didn't come yet. Amulei, the people said to him, oh, how come when you make a fast, there's no rain? But, oh, Rav Yishuv ben Levi, he was goza tenisa of Osi mitzvah. Once Rav Yishuv ben Levi, he declared a tainis, and boom, the rains came right away. So Nebuch, Rav Chama bar Chanina says, Amalu, told those people, yeah, what can I do? Oh, I know, I'm only me. Oh, Bar Levi, that's Rav Yishuv ben Levi. He's much greater than I am. So Rabbi Chama bar Chanina says, go and tell him to come. Imrule Dinesi, let him come over here. V'nikave in Daitin, and we'll all go and daven with Kavana together to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Evshe, maybe, the Tavrei Tzibura Libayu. That will go and humble us, that will break our hearts, and that will break the Tzibur's arrogance, and then maybe the rains will come. Dasi Mitra. No, so they get Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi to come. Bo and Rachbe, both Rabbi Chama bar Chanina and Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi and all the people are davening, Bo and Rachbe, Velo Simitra, and still the rains didn't come. Amaluhu, so he says to the people, Nicha Luchu Shiavu Mata Bishileinu, do you want the rains to come on the benefit of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi and myself? Amaluhu, they all said, yeah, of course we do. So he looked up towards Shemayim, Amar Rakia, Rakia, he says, sky, sky, Kasi Panayach, go cover up your face with clouds. Lo Ichse, the sky still didn't become full with clouds. Omar, he said to this guy, Kama Azim Pnei Rakia, how chutzpahdik are you that you're not listening to us? And then the clouds came, and the rains came, and everything was good. Rashi explains that he was saying the chutzpah of the clouds, not to listen to the entire tzibur, who's humbled themselves, the lo kasin mitzibura, how could you not cover up the skies with clouds when the tzibur is asking to do so? Another story, Levi Gozer Ten Issa. Once there was a famine, there was no rain, and Levi was gozer tainis, and Amar Lefanav, he said to the rains didn't come, lo asa mitra. Amar Lefanav, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Alisi v'yoshavti b'marom, I went up to Shemayim, v'ein atom arachim abonecha, and our tefillos, in other words, went up to Shemayim, and you're not listening to the tefillos of your people, you're not being merachim on your children, ein atom arachim abonecha, and then immediately the rains came, asa mitra. However, this was a little bit of a chutzpahdik way for Levi to go and ask, and the Itla, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, punished him, and he became somewhat lame in one of his legs. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says about this, Lo'olim al yotiach odem devarim klapi mal. A person has to be very careful when he's davening or talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to be chutzpahdik. Because Shari Odom Gadol, Levi, was an obviously great person. The rains came when he spoke like this. He tiach dvarim klapi mala. He was, so to say, a little bit chutzpahdik towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and while his words were answered, the tefillos were answered, nevertheless, Itla. And who was this great person he was talking about? Shari Odom Gadol, Umani, who was this person? It was Levi. It's this story. Some more questions. It says, really? Is this why Levi became lame? Yaha, Karmelay? Was this why Levi became lame? Well, Levi, Achvekida, Kameh the Rebbe, Vidla. Rebbe once asked somebody to show him what is Kida. Kida is a certain type of bowing down, a certain type of Ishtachavoya, and it's a very complicated one, where you're basically doing a push-up off your thumbs, and you're bowing your entire body down, and you're just being held up by your thumbs. And this is a physically difficult thing to do, and Levi demonstrated this to Rebbe and the Itla. While he was demonstrating this, he became lame. So that's why Levi became lame, not because he was chutzpahdik towards Shemayim and asking for the rain. So Gemara says, both of them caused it. Because he was chutzpahdik towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asking for the rain, so ultimately when he did Kida, which was putting himself into a matzah of a sakana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then punished him. When you're in the matzah of a sakana, sometimes bad things can happen. Another story, Reb Chiya Bar Lulyoni, that was the name of this Amora, Reb Chiya Bar Lulyoni, Shaminu Lahanach Anoni Dekamer. He heard two clouds talking to each other. The Mefarshim explained, there was the malachim of these clouds talking to each other, and they were saying, Nesu v'nesve maya be'amon u'moav. We don't want to give our waters to the Jewish people. Let's bring our clouds, bring the rain to Amon and Moav. So when Reb Chiya Bar Lulyoni heard this, he said, when you wanted to give the Torah to the world, you went to every single nation in the world. The famous Medrash, we discussed this previously. You went to Esav, you went to Yishmael, you went to all the different countries in the world, all the different nations in the world, and said, you like the Torah? And they said, what's in it? And one said, you're not allowed to murder, oh, we don't want that. You're not allowed to steal, oh, we don't want that. You're not allowed to have immoralities, oh, we don't want that. And only Klai Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishma. All the rest of the world, lo kibluah. And now, you want to give those nations who rejected your Torah, you want to give them rain and not to Klai Yisrael? No, bring the rains to Eretz Yisrael and bring the rains on Klai Yisrael. And therefore, immediately, Shadua Aduchtayu. Immediately, Reb Chiya Bar Lulyoni was answered. The tefillos that he said were appropriate and they were accepted. And the rain clouds came over Eretz Yisrael and the rain came in Eretz Yisrael. Further, Darbash Rabbi Chiya Bar Lulyoni. So Reb Chiya Bar Lulyoni dashed in the following psukim in the following way. What does the pasuk mean when it says in Tehillim tzaddik katomor yifroch? A tzaddik, he will go and be a yifroch. It's like the flower, like a tomor, like a date palm tree. Ke'eres, like a cedar tree. Balabono in the Lebanon, like the Lebanon cedars. Yisgeh, he will grow tall. So what does this mean? We have tzaddik is compared to a date tree, a palm tree, and also to a cedar tree. Which one is it? Im nemar tomar, loma nemar eres. Im nemar eres, loma nemar somar. Which one is it? If you're telling me he's like a palm tree, so then he's not like a cedar tree. If you tell me he's like a cedar tree, he's not like a palm tree. What are you telling me he's like both? So Reb Chiya Bar Lulyoni says, no. Ilu nemar tomar, if it only said the Klai Yisrael should be like a tomar, velo nemar eres, but didn't say they should be like an eres, ha'yis yomer, I would have said, you know what? Ma tomer, just like this date tree, this palm tree, we turn to chafei on the base, and gizo machlif, it doesn't regrow. Oh, af tzadik chas v'shalom, and gizo machlif, a tzadik, rachmano litzlan, could also not regenerate. In other words, maybe if he dies, he won't regenerate. As Rashi says, elo zecher, tzadik in gizo machlif, ain't no b'triyasa mesim. Maybe there is no triyasa mesim. Oh, to get around that ridiculous idea, the kach nemar eres, it says like an eres, because an eres, right now we're assuming, is going to be gizo machlif. So therefore, it's compared to a tree that is gizo machlif. It will regenerate, it will be resuscitated. All right, then just tell me that. Ilu nemar eres, but only it said eres, lo nemar tamar, wouldn't say like a tamar. Well, you know what, an eres tree is a non-fruit-bearing tree. I would have said, he might not have any children. He won't be zochet to have children. So maybe that's what it means. Meaning he won't get rewarded in the future, Rashi says. Oh, because the tomer has dates to come off the palm tree, the nemar eres. That's why it tells us both the tomer and an eres. But this explanation included that the cedar tree, the Erez is gizo machlif. And the more questions that, the Erez gizo machlif, is that really true of Vatanya? But we learn in the following brisa, halokeach ilon mechavero lakot. If a person goes and purchases a tree from his friend, then he purchases it for wood, he wants to cut it down. So what should you do? Magbio menakarka tefach. Since you didn't purchase the ground, you only purchased the tree, you only have a right to the tree. And if you want that tree to regrow, so magbio minakarka tefach, you have to lease at least the tefach of the tree above the ground, or else it won't grow. Pekotis, and cut it above that point in order that it can regrow. Bisadan hashikamore, if you're buying a sycamore tree, now a sadan hashikamore is a tree that's already been cut a couple of times. So therefore, shnei tefachim, you only have to leave two tvachim, right? By regular ilan, you have to leave one tefach. Here, you have to leave two tvachim. And for a besulas ha-shikamor, that's a sycamore tree that has never been cut, so that's even more likely to not be able to regrow. You have to leave shlosha tvachim. You have to leave at least three tvachim above the ground in order for the tree to definitely be able to grow back. Bekanim in reeds, or gefanim of vines, mina pekak ulamala. The pekak is a knot, right? We say in modern Hebrew, traffic is called pekak. It's a knot. It's all bundled up. So where the first vine is bundled up, or the first reed is bundled up, so mina pekak ulamala, you have to leave. Bedekalim, in regards to the palm trees, ubarazim, and the cedar trees, again, chofer lematu misharish. You can dig all the way down to the ground and uproot the tree entirely, because lefisha ein gizo machlit, it's not going to regrow no matter what. So therefore, you see over here that the erez gizo is eino machlit. So how can you tell me that the reason why they're compared to klaisos compared to the erez is they should be machlit, they should regrow? Mars says, not a problem. Hocham ha'iskin, you know what we're talking about over here? There are different types of arazim. If you remember, we learned the Rosh Hashanah, Bishar Mine Arazim. There are 10 types of arazim, and this is talking about a different type of erez tree. The Rabba Bar Huna said, the Amar Rabba Bar Huna, Asar Mine Arazim Heim. We had a pasuk that we brought down, Shenemar Etain, Bamidbar, Erez, Shito, Vahadus, Ugomer. This pasuk had 7 trees in it, then we dashed out an additional 3 trees from a different pasuk, and there are a total of 10 types of erez trees, of cedar trees. And there's a certain type of cedar tree that ain't gizo machlif, and in the pasuk here, it's talking about a tree that is gizo machlif, and therefore it's not a stira. Tana Rabbanan, we learn the following b'risa. Ma'isa b'Rabbi Eliezer. One time, Rabbi Eliezer was gozer shegozer shloshes reitanios alatzibo v'lo yodu shomim. Even after the 13 fasts, the three, and the 7, nebuch no rain. Bachrono yischilu atzibo lotzeis. After they finished the final fast, so the tzibo was about to leave the shul. So Amalem Rabbi Eliezer said to them, Tikantem kevorim liasachem. Why are you leaving the shul? Are you going out to prepare the graves? In other words, you're giving up. The rain isn't coming, so you're going to just give up. Go kolam b'buchia, and everybody sighed and cried greatly. Go kolam b'buchia. Go is like a lashon of they were tremendously crying, and then because they humbled themselves, the yodu gusham, and the rains then came at that point in time. The Musser, so to say, of Rabbi Eliezer saying, you're going to go dig your graves. In other words, they realized the severity of the situation and they cried and the rains came. Another Maisa, Shuv Maisa, Rabbi Eliezer. Another time, the great Rabbi Eliezer said, Shor Lefnei HaTev, he went to go daven as a Shliach Tzibor. V'amar Esrei Rabba Brachos, he said the 24 special Brachos, Shmon Esrei, 25 if you count Lamalshinim, that we say on a Tainis, and nevertheless, Lo Nana, he wasn't answered. Yorid Rabbi Akiva, then his Talmud, Rabbi Akiva, went after him. And for Omar, all he did was say, Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Lanu Melech Elo Ata, Avinu Malkeinu, Lemancha Rachem Aleinu, V'yardu Gishamim. He said one or two lines, and boom, 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 it started to pour. So obviously, Hevu Maraninei Rabbanon, the people said, yeah, you know, Rabbi Eliezer is not who he is. Rabbi Akiva is greater than him. Now, Rabbi Akiva was the Talmud, Rabbi Eliezer was the Rebbe. So a voice came out from Shemayim. A baskel came out and said, "Lo b'pnei shezeh golim zeh." Don't think that Rabbi Akiva is necessarily greater than Rabbi Eliezer. No, Rabbi Eliezer is a very, very great tzaddik. However, why was Rabbi Akiva answered? Because el shezeh ma'vir amidosav. Zeh eino ma'vir amidosav. Rabbi Akiva was a very forgiving type of a person. He would be ma'vir amidosav. It says, "Kol ma'vir amidosav is guaranteed to be a ben olam above." Somebody attacks you and you leave him alone, so then you're ben olam haba. You're going to be a great, great person because you're mevater, so to say. You forgive other people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you. Mido keneged mida. So Rabbi Akiva was a great ma'avir al midosav type of person, whereas Rabbi Eliezer was a little bit stricter. He was a little bit harsher, and that's called ain't a ma'avir al midosav, and therefore his tefillahs weren't answered. Tana Rabbanan, another brisa. Ad mosai yu agishomim yardim v'atzibar poskim mitanisom. In other words, how much rain has to come before you can say, Baruch Shem, we no longer need to have a tainis. So Gemara answers in the Braisa, Kimlo Berech Hamachareisha. Rashi explains that the Berech, who akli shechoshibo, that's the plowing implement, umavrichin oso somach lekarka, you bend it near the ground, kechoshibo, when you're plowing with it, klomar, mile hatelem, sheyaru hamayim betelem. You should be able to see the water in the furrow that's made. And this is when you fill that up with water, so then you know you have enough rain. Divri Rebbeir, that's the opinion of Rebbeir. Chacham disagree. Chamamim b'chareva tefach. If it's dry soil, dried out soil, then only need a tefach. But if it's bebeinonis, if it's a little bit of a in-between type of a soil, then you need two tefachim for the rain to go in. Bavod, if it's a worked soil, if it's a plowed soil, shlosha tefachim, then you need three tefachim. So depending on the type of soil, that's how much rain has to come. Learn another braisa, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ein lecha tefach milamala, she'ein tohom yotzei likroso shlosha tefachim. When you have a rain coming down and penetrating into the ground, a tefach, so similarly the water from the ground, the underground water, comes up to greet it, three tefachim. Where it says, another braisa says, Vatanya tefachayim, another braisa says, only two tefachim, kasha between the two braisas. Where it says, lo kasha, not a kasha. Kan ba'avuda, kan b'shein avuda. Again, it depends. Was it tilled? Was it plowed? Or was it not plowed? If it's not plowed, so then it's going to be different than if it's plowed. One will be two tvachim, and one will be three tvachim. Am Rabbi Elazar, this is Rabbi Elazar. The previous Rabbi Eliezer was Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, the famous Rabbi of Rabbi Akiva. In fact, Rashi even had that as a girsa, to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. In any event, Am Rabbi Elazar, it's normally Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos, Kishemenaschin esamayim bechog, when they would pour the water in sukkahs on the Mizbeach, to home Omel Chavero, the water on the bottom in the depths of the earth says to its friend, to its brother, so to say, Abba Mimecha, go and bring forth your waters. Koshne Reim Ani Shomer, because I hear the voices, the call of our two friends, meaning the Nisach HaYayin and the Nisach HaMayim that are brought on Sukkah. So let's get ready to go meet it. As the pasuk says, Shenemar, it says in Tehillim, Tahom El Tahom Kore, the two waters call to each other. And they say that we hear the water coming down the channels, the pipes of the Mizbeach. Amar Rabba says, I myself saw this malach in a dream known as Ridya. This is the malach that's over the Geshomim. Rashi says, Malach HaMemuna Ala Geshomim Kach Shemo. That was the name of this malach. And he says, I saw him in my dream. And he says, Dome Le'igla. Now some have the gears over here, Tilsa, to a either third born to a cow, which is a very delicious type of meat, or it's a third matured. We have eglatilsa throughout Shas as being a very, very big delicacy. In any event, I see that this eglatilsa, or this igla, or pirsos vase, this malach ridya, looks like a little calf, and it has broken lips, pirsos vase, they're split. And he stands in between the waters on the top, water on the bottom, and he says to each of them, to the waters on the top, Amalei says to him, bring down the water. The waters on the bottom, Amalei says, Abba Memecha, spring up your waters. These nitzonim, these blossoms, are seen all over the land, and that's from Shir HaShirim, which tells us over here that the Malach Ridya is telling the waters to go and come up. Now we finally go to the next piece of the Mishnah that we quote. The Mishnah said that if you declare a fast day, you have to fast. But what happens if the rains come? So it depends. We have an opinion that says if the rains came before a certain period of time, you don't have to go and fast. If it came before Netzachama, you don't have to finish as the fast. But then the opinion said if it came after Netzachama, you do. Another opinion said to Chatzos. Now we'll expand upon that. The Brisa says, Tanu Rabbanon, if the rains came before it was Netzachama, before the sun rose, lo yeshlimu. They don't have to go and finish the fast. However, liachar netzachama, but if the rains only came after the sun rose, yashlimu, they do have to finish the fast. Divrei Rav Meir. This is the opinion of Rav Meir. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda, no, until chatzos, the same thing, but until chatzos. Call them chatzos, lo yashlimu. The rains come before chatzos, you don't have to finish the fast. However, liachar chatzos yashlimu, but if it comes after chatzos, you have to finish the rest of the day in fasting. That's the words of Rav Yehuda. And finally, the most meikel sheet is Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi, call them teshos lo yashlimu. As long as the rain comes before 9 hours of the day, you don't have to complete the fast. However, if they come in the last quarter of the day, liachar teshos, after 9 hours, yes, we do have to finish off the fast. Why did they get this number of 9 hours? Shekem Motzino be Achav Melech Yisrael. Achav was a melech of Yisrael. He was the husband of Izebel, and they were very bad kings. But when he heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to punish him, Sheis Anam Yitesh Yisrael Lamala, so he fasted from the 9 hours of the day and beyond that. So he fasted in that period of time. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Haro Esau ki nichna Achav v'gomer. Did you see that Achav has made himself humble to me? He has realized that he was doing the terrible things. He killed his cousin. He had a cousin, Novos, who had a field and he didn't want to sell it to him. So he made up trump charges. His wife Izebel, she was a real Rishah. So they made up trump charges against Novos. He was found to be falsely accused of being chayv a capital crime, they killed him, and then the rule was that if somebody died, so their property went to the king, or others say, no, he was his cousin, so the king inherited him. In any event, so Achav was being punished for this, so the Navi tells him that you're going to be punished, and Achav tries to do tshuva, and he fasts, as the pasuk says, that he went and fasted. So we see from here this idea of until 9 hours in a day, he was eating till then, but it's considered fasting after that. So, so that's where we get this source from. Mark continues and says, Rav Yehuda Nesiya Gozer Tinis, so one time there was no rain, and Rav Yehuda Nesiya was Gozer Tinis. Again, that's Rebbe's grandson. The rains came, but after the sun rose. So, he said, oh, let's go finish off the Tinis because it's after Netzachama. So, I'm only Rebbe Yami. Rami said, no, that's not the way. We learn and follow the opinion of Rav Yehuda that if the rains come before Chatzos, then you don't have to fast. If the rains come after Chatzos, then you do have to fast the rest of the day. Well, unfortunately, not going to be able to keep the shiur less than an hour, but I want to finish till the end of the parak, so we're just going to do a little bit more. Please forgive me. Shmuel HaKotan Gozer Tinis. Another time, Shmuel HaKotan was Gozer Tinis, and immediately, and the rains came before Netzachama. Kisurim, the people thought, Kisurim on Lomar, Shavacho Shel Tziburu. This is a great praise for the community that the rains came right away. Amalem Shulka said, nah, not so fast. I'll show you an example of what this means. Le'evit Shemavakish Prasmi Rabo. It's like an Evit is asking his master for a prize, a pras, and wants to get something from it. And the master says, get out of my sight. Here, take it and go. Amalem. Tulo Alesh Bakolo. Give it to him right away so I don't have to hear his voice. This is what the curse for the Nochash HaKadmon was, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you'll eat the dust of the earth. That doesn't sound like a curse. You always have food wherever you go. It said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to ever hear from you. You have food wherever you go, just don't bother me. So that's not a good thing. The opposite happened. Shuv Shmuel HaKadmon Gozer Tinis. Another time there was no rain. Shmuel HaKadmon was Gozer Tinis. And the rains came after the sun rose in the morning. So now the people said, oh, now it's a good thing. This must be a good thing for the Tzibur. Hashem really loves us. Amalim Shmuel said, no. Lo Shevach Shel Tzibur. That's not a good thing. I'll show you what this is like. And Eved is asking his master for a pras, for a piece, a part. He wants something from his master, and the master says, let him wait. Let him sweat a little bit. Let him sit here in Shvitz. Maybe the rains won't come. So, therefore, it's not a good sign. Okay, after he schwitzes a little bit, then go give it to him. So, neither of these two is a good thing. Shmuel says, if it rains came early, it's no good. If the rains come later, it's no good. So, when is it good? So, when is it good? If the chazan says, Omar Mashav Ruach, Benoshav Zika, and then the winds start to blow. And then, Omar Morad Hageshem, and he says, Morad Hageshem, awesome Mitra. And then the rains come. Oh, that's perfect. It doesn't come right away, but it doesn't take him and leave him in distress for a long period of time. And we go to the final part of the Mishnah. We'll conclude this beautiful, beautiful third parak of Shas and Gemara and Tainus. Ma'aseh v'gozer Tainus v'lod. One time they declared that there would be a Tainus and Lod, and the Baruch Hashem, the rains came, and Rabbi Tarp told them, go home and eat, and then we'll come back to Shul later on, and they said, Halal HaGodol. No, the name of Halal Meikar, why didn't they say Halal right then and there? So Abai v'Rava, the Amar both Abai v'Rava said, Lefi she'in omim Halal, because we don't say Halal, we turn to Chavavim and Aleph, because you can't say hallow, you really can't praise the Kosh Baruch if you starve. So go home and eat, satisfy yourself, have a nefesh seveya, a full soul, the keres leya, a full stomach, and then now you can come back and praise the Kosh Baruch Hu. More questions? Is really any? For Rapapa, ikla lebe knishta davi govar. We've had this place before. Rapapa went to a certain base knesset, a certain shul that was in a place called Avi Gover. The Gozer Tainis, there was no rain, so he was Gozer Tainis. And the rain came before it was Chatzos, and he said right then and there, V'yomahalo. And only afterwards, V'yachakach ochlu v'shosu, did he send them home to eat and drink, but first they said halo on an empty stomach. And you just said you have to have say halo on a full stomach. What's the difference? So Gemara says, no. Where did Rapapa live? Shiny b'nei Mechuza. This was in Mechuza. And the people in Mechuza liked the little drink with their lunch. And the Shriche Bushikris, and if you let them go home and eat and drink and take out a bottle, so they ain't coming back for Mincha. They're not coming back to say Halal HaGadol. So it depends where. If the people are going to come back after they ate a full meal and they'll come back and be able to praise the Kosh Baruch Hu much better on a full stomach, oh, that's the first statement. But then, if it's going to cause them to go to sleep, they're going to get the Shikr, and it's not going to be good. So they make them say the Halal right beforehand. We leave this beautiful parak. Mitzvah Shem will come back to it, and we will, Mitzvah Shem, start the fourth and final parak of Tanis tomorrow. I wish everybody a wonderful day.